Hey guys, welcome back. It's Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com, and today we're doing something a little different. I was inspired, and I just felt absolutely driven and motivated that I needed to have this guest on here today. And I'm going to try to get through the whole call without crying because I keep welling up every time I try to tell my friends about this person or tell my family about this person because she's just such an amazing gift in my life and to so many people. And this person's name is Katie, and she's a friend that I've known for about a year or a little bit longer. And she actually died on May 14th of 2012, exactly a year ago from the today, which is the day that we're recording, May 14th, 2013. And so, I mean, that makes her pretty amazing to begin with. That story is inspiring, and I mean, I was glued to it like crazy. It's very Oprah-worthy, but instead I told her she stuck with me. And the thing is, you know, it was obviously out of her control that she died, but what was in her control was the next year, and I want her to share the story in her own words, so I won't ruin it for her, but I would like to welcome my friend, who I absolutely adore, Katie.
Hi, everybody.
Katie.
Hey.
And we are using, we're not using Katie's full name at this point because, you know, this is her story, and I think she's going to want to be a best-selling author someday. So, Katie, I want you to start off by telling me about the day that you died.
Well, everything about what happened has been told to me many, many times because I don't have a memory of it. I've lost 2 weeks from my life of my memory due to short-term memory loss, but maybe someday that memory will come back. But what has been told to me is that Monday evening on May 14th, I was in my home cleaning and cooking dinner and with my two daughters, who at the time were 6 and 8, and I just suddenly collapsed without warning. And dinner began burning on the stove, and time went by. We don't know the exact amount of time, but my husband walked in and found me dead on the floor of our home. And I had no breath and no heartbeat. I was a bluish shade of purple, and my eyes were open, just like, he knew that I was gone, and he frantically dialed 911 and started CPR, and it took a couple minutes for them to respond, and the paramedics took over, and they were able to shock my heart back with a defibrillator, and they got a heartbeat, so they rushed me to the hospital, and they stabilized my vitals, but based on what the paramedics could piece together based on the dinner burning on the stove and the passage of time that it would take for it to burn the way that it did, and the story that my daughters were able to give, they have pieced together an estimate that I was clinically dead for 6 to 8 minutes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So the ER doctors were extremely concerned about brain damage, because brain damage happens after about 2 to 4 minutes. And I was gone for much longer. So they got me stabilized, and they pretty much gave me drugs to put me into a coma to slow down the brain damage. And they had this new technology that's called a hyperbaric blanket that they put over me that reduced my body's temperature to 92 degrees. And that just is supposed to slow down all the bodily organs and help the body to heal. So that evening I was in a coma, and they had no idea if I would ever wake up. Or if I did, they were pretty sure that I would have brain damage, but they had no way of telling my family to what extent. And so many people started praying for me, and it was amazing. It's been a year and I still haven't wrapped my brain around it, but everyone started calling everyone, and in different online networks and bloggers and groups and in my community, everyone just started calling everyone they knew, and people stopped and started praying. And we have figured out that there were over 1,000 people praying for me. There was a women's conference that stopped what they were doing and started praying. And all of my family flew in, like in a mad dash to get to my location and get to the hospital. So the plan was that they were going to keep me in the coma for 36 hours and then take me off the drugs and see if I would wake up. And that was, let's see, when was that? They were going to gradually do that for Tuesday and Wednesday, and maybe Wednesday night I might respond. So they told my husband to go home and get some rest because nothing was going to happen Tuesday night. I was just in this coma. And Wednesday morning, my husband woke up and he called the hospital at 5:30 in the morning. And they said, well, we don't know how it's happening, but she's waking up on her own, even though she's still in the medically induced coma with the drugs. She's responding. And he rushed to the hospital. And my family rushed to the hospital. Everyone rushed to the hospital.
You're just contrary, aren't you?
I don't like to do things conventional. and they just watched. The next hour was what they said was a miracle. The doctors couldn't explain it. Me waking up was supposed to take all of Wednesday into Thursday, but Wednesday morning I was waking up, and then they didn't know what to do. So they had me on a ventilator, and they took me off the ventilator and decided not to extubate me for 60 minutes. They wanted to see, can she breathe on her own? But after 10 minutes, I was so alert and awake and breathing on my own that they just gave up and took the tubes out. So what they figured out was that I have a genetic heart condition called long QT syndrome, and it causes rapid and erratic heartbeats that if it goes on too long, the heart can misfire and then just hover and vibrate at 400 beats a minute and then just stop. And that's what happened to me. So my heart just stopped.
So you weren't a sickly person.
No.
You were just going on with your life and making dinner and cleaning up around the house a little bit and feeling fine and kaplowy.
Yep. And they said that what they know of that condition, I only had a 2% chance of survival. This kills athletes. I mean, athletes will just drop on the field and die. Mm-hmm. And my heart doctor said that the night that this happened, he went home very late at night, woke his wife out of bed, who's an ER nurse, and told her about his patient that had inexplicably survived sudden death. He was amazed. My ER doctor and my ICU doctor were amazed that I woke up. And after they implanted a pacemaker defibrillator and watched me for a couple of days, they found that I had no brain damage whatsoever. And this happened on a Monday night, and I went home from the hospital on Saturday morning.
That's amazing.
And I have been fine ever since.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'd be afraid they'd say that I had brain damage, and my husband would go, no, that's just how she always is. Oh, my goodness, Katie. Oh, so was your husband, was Brett at work, or was he just out in the front yard? Or
he was at work, and he really struggled for a while because he he was supposed to be home. If he had come home, he would have been home when it happened, but he stayed at work a little longer than he should have. Or, you know, he usually leaves at 6 and he stayed about 20 minutes longer. And he really struggled with that for a while. But, you know, after the miracle, he just realized that God just orchestrated everything the way that it happened. And he has come to the same place that I've come to, which is that every day is a gift. We both just embrace life in every moment as a gift. And what are we doing in that moment? And what are we doing in that day? And, you know, he doesn't stay at work late anymore.
I bet he doesn't. Wow. Well, and, you know, when I asked you to come on the podcast, it wasn't because you died, but it's because of how you live. And that's what I really want to celebrate today is you have, I'm trying to think of the right word, but you've basically just tackled the heck out of life in the last year. I mean, you're not coasting along. You know, so many people just coast along day to day, and you have really tackled the snot out of life in this last year. And I'd like you to share just some of the things that you've done, and definitely tell your Disney story, because that one just blows me away. Because I mean, I knew you before all this happened, obviously, from hosting with New Horizons for Children. I was going through that process, and you're one of the moms helping us through that. And I knew of you, and I don't know if you knew who I was. But then when it happened, you know, I watched Brett posting on Facebook, and I mean, I was one of the, you know, thousands of people praying for you at that time, just going, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever, and she's got to be okay, but she can't be. I mean, obviously, she can't survive this, but, you know, I'm going to pray anyway. And those poor kids, and, you know, I remember crying and just saying, Joe, this isn't fair, and why did this happen to this girl when all she's done is try to do good things, and it's just not right. And so, I mean, I've watched the whole process, and then I've just, every day, I love going on Facebook and seeing what you're up to today, because you're always posting pictures of your kids, and you're doing something awesome. Just every day, it's like legendary in the life of Katie. So I'll let you talk about how it's changed your life and what the last year has been like, that the year that almost wasn't, as you said on your blog.
Well, when I got home from the hospital, obviously it took a couple months to just recover emotionally, recover physically. I mean, they pumped some powerful drugs into me. It took a while to get that out of my system. So I was a little flat for a while, but once I started, everybody went through this except me. I was asleep.
Right.
So everyone went through the grief and the fear and the horror and the miracle and the celebration and the excitement and the recovery. But for me, all that happened delayed. So in August, it just all of a sudden just hit me. Oh my goodness, this happened to me. And I remember texting my father and my husband while I was going for a walk one day, and I was like, oh my gosh, I died. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, but I'm alive. And they're like, you just noticed that? But after that, we really just, I had to grieve because of what happened. Several doors in our lives closed. And I wondered, why would God allow this to happen? Why would God put me through this and close doors that we were walking through, that we felt we were serving him, that we were helping other people? And why did these doors shut? And I really had to wrestle with that, because it was just out of our control. It just happened. And I finally came to a place where I just know that he's good, and I know that he has plans for us, and I know that he did not bring me back to life to sit on the couch every night and watch TV. And he didn't bring me back to life to spend my whole life working at my job, which I previously did a lot. So what am I here for? And I know that everyone has a purpose. For me, it just really hit home that every day that I'm here is a day that I was not supposed to be here. And what am I doing with that day? And it's a precious day, and it's valuable. And, you know, one day when I am finished with my life for real this time, I want to know that I did something every day that mattered, even if it was just one little thing, one tiny thing. So that's really how I've lived. It's how my husband has lived. And so we host orphan children through New Horizons for Children. And after several doors shut to us, the door for me to begin volunteering with New Horizons for Children opened. It just flung wide open, and me and my husband both walked through that door. And we love this ministry, and we love impacting the lives of children, just one child at a time. And I work full time. You know, you've got to pay the bills and provide for the family. So I still have my day job. And then by night and by weekend, I volunteer for New Horizons, and I just absolutely love it. And we still host through New Horizons, and we are in the process of adopting one of the children, and hopefully someday she'll be our child. And so, as I was saying, in August, it kind of hit me, and we all had a little bit of post-trauma going on. So one day I was just sitting at my desk working, and I just thought, I just want to go celebrate life, and I just want to do it now. And so I texted my husband, and I said, let's go to Disney World tonight. We live 10 hours away from Disney World. And he was like, we can't do that. And I said, sure we can. We have a long weekend. Let's just do it. We've never done anything wild and crazy. We've always been extremely responsible people, and let's just do it. And after he thought about it for a while, he said, okay, let's do it. And I was like, really? And so we got the car all situated. I packed the girls a suitcase, and we jumped in the car. And about half an hour into the ride, we told them we're going to Disney World, and they just started screaming. And we spent 3 days down there, and it was just the most irrational, irresponsible, crazy, and emotional healing thing that we've ever done.
And it all started because you were craving a dessert, right?
Yes. We tend to go out to dinner on Friday nights, and I was like, you know, I'm just in the mood for some zebra cakes from Boma in the Animal Kingdom.
That's what it was. I knew it was one of the parts.
Started. So I just spent that whole weekend. I mean, we go to Disney once a year. We've done everything that there is to do mostly in Disney. And so it wasn't like we've got to fit everything in, rushed kind of trip. It was just let's just celebrate that we're together, that we're a family. And so we would just walk around, and I would just stare at them and thing. I'm so thankful that I have them and that I'm here and that they're not grieving right now, because they could have been in deep grief right at that moment. And instead we were, celebrating. So it was really an amazing weekend, and we drove home, and about 3 hours away from home, my husband and I were having a conversation in the car, because we had some rocky times previously in our marriage, and everybody does, and everybody struggles in their relationships and in their marriage and with their kids, and just, you know, we're all humans and this is life, and it's sometimes messy. And we just had a talk in the car, and I said, I don't know how many days I have, but every day I just want to celebrate with you, because I love you, and I'm so glad to be with you, and I'm so glad that we're doing life together. And since then, we've just attacked life. And no, we don't get along every single day, every single moment, but we're really a team, and we just value the days that we have.
I love it. And you do have a very cool husband.
Yes, he's awesome.
he's pretty darn cool. Yeah, I like him. So, you know, this is a business podcast. So what does this have to do with business? You know, people are thinking. And the thing is so many people, especially in the people that listen to my show, they work from home. And the problem is when you work from home that there is no division between home and office. So it's way too easy to just walk into your office and check on, you know, quote, one thing. And then 4 hours later, come back out, realize your kids are in bed and that you didn't tuck them in that night. And, you know, that's not okay. My daughter is 11. There are only so many more nights she's going to let me tuck her in. And I don't want to miss a single one of those. And so it's so important to look at every day like you do. You know, it's like I wake up and I want to go, okay, what would Katie do? WWKD. I may hang that up by my monitor to remind me.
Oh, boy.
I'll print a little picture of you. But it is. It's so very important to see things through your eyes and to realize that every moment in the last year that you've had truly is a gift. But then again, isn't it for all of us?
It is. And, you know, you asked me what I've been doing the last year. And, you know, we do big stuff. We're in the process of adoption and we host orphans and we're involved in volunteer work. And those are all, you know, big endeavors, but really the best things for me are the times with my kids and my family. And when I went back and blogged about what's been going on the past year, it was a photo blog of my highlights of the past year. And most of them were little things like I got to be the tooth fairy and I got to be at my daughter's kindergarten graduation 2 weeks after I got out of the hospital. And I got to, you know, go to their parent breakfasts at school and just, you know, little things. We got to be a family and make cookies in the kitchen, and we tend to think that those are not big things, but they're so huge. Those are the things that I remember when I was growing up with my parents. And I work from home too. So my full-time job is for a technology corporation, and I work from my home office. And so I am very aware of how fast time can slip by without realizing it. And just,
I call it the vortex.
Yes, exactly. So just being able to look at the clock and say, okay, I'm done, and walk away, and then go sit in the living room with my youngest daughter and let her read books to me or play a game or help teach her how to cook something or, you know, watch my older daughter perform some dance she made up.
They always do that.
Those are huge. And so when I post on Facebook what we're up to, a lot of that stuff is just capturing those moments that I just love, and I'm so happy. And you know, my daughter, my oldest daughter, her faith in God just exploded after this happened. She went through some post-trauma like everyone did, but she saw the miracle, and she really is becoming a girl who is so solid. And I love watching how what could have turned into a disaster, God just turned around and turned into something amazing for every member of our family. It's really cool.
And a lot of people, when they go through something traumatic, they tend to withdraw or become fearful. And while I know you've faced some of that, you have chosen not to let it take over your life, which is, it's huge, because we all have bad things happen to us. But, you know, what are you going to make out of that? Are you going to let it control you? Or are you going to just say, you know what, this moment in time is a gift, and this day is a gift, and what am I going to do with it? How am I going to spend it?
I had some fear at first, because
your heart freaking stopped.
Yeah, I know. It's something you can't control. I mean, they told me, you know, this pacemaker is going to make sure it never happens again. But really, the psychological fear can really grip you outside the bounds of logic. That you do have this pacemaker, it's not going to happen again. And I thought about it, and I'm like, you know, I don't know how long I have. I don't know what's going to happen, but what am I going to do in the meantime? Because bad things are going to happen. It's the way that life works. You know, this is a broken and fallen world, and bad things do happen. Am I going to live in fear, or am I just going to charge ahead and not let it stop me? And so this was also the case in the adoption that we're pursuing, because we lost two adoptions before they were ever complete. And it was heartbreaking and gut-wrenching. And so to enter into a third adoption attempt was very scary, and I was very fearful. But I thought, what am I doing with my life if I'm just going to be held back in fear? You know, fear just makes you live a boring life. And so I know that this girl is desperate for a family, and I'm going to be held back in fear of what may happen. I just couldn't do that. So I have really learned not to fear death, but also not to fear life and what could happen in life. And so we just charge forward.
I love it. Yeah, that's Katie and I also hang out in a group where we have suffered from a lost adoption, or we call it a failed adoption, for whatever reason. Usually it's because there's older kids involved, and they're scared. They're scared to leave everything they know behind and to come here and start over. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that we unfortunately have in common, but it's also something that's brought us closer together as well. Guys, you're listening to Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com, and Katie wrote down her story on a blog. It's katiesheartbeat.blogspot.com. Again, that's katiesheartbeat.blogspot.com, and you can see some pictures there and stuff, and I think you'll love it. I know I do. Again, it's katiesheartbeat.blogspot.com, and to learn more about New Horizons for Children, go to newhorizonsforchildren.org, and you can find out more about the hosting program that we did, where instead of bringing over a wealthy foreign exchange student for, you know, a couple months, you can have an orphan come and stay with you and become part of your family for about a month, 4 weeks. So instead of going on a mission trip and you still want to do something good, it's a fantastic way to really make a difference and to make an impact on your children and to make an impact on their lives. And, you know, everyone said, oh, what an impact you're going to make on her life. And they had no idea that the blessings were all bestowed on us. It was an amazing experience for us. I mean, it's difficult, but it's amazing. I also want to touch on one other thing here that you mentioned, and that was that when you were in the medically induced coma, that bloggers and online people on Facebook were out there trying to get other people to pray for you, and they're praying for you themselves. And a lot of times in my podcast, I talk about the impact of having an audience, which is one of the reasons why I want you to get serious about your blogging, Miss Katie, and also write your book so you can get on Oprah. Because once you have that audience, you can make such a huge impact. and not that you don't already, but, you know, I'm talking about the global you, people that are listening. Once you have an audience, like I have my audience, if I need, you know, to get the word out about something, I have tens of thousands of people I can reach out to with a snap of my fingers. I, you know, if I have something that's important to me, like sharing my friend Katie, sharing New Horizons for Children, I can do that because I have the audience available to me. Even, you know, if my family needed prayers, if I mentioned it to my people, you know, there's tens of thousands of people that are out there that care, or at least care enough about me to either pray for me themselves, or to, you know, spread it to their church or whatever. So the impact of an audience cannot be understated. So part of the reason for building an online business is to make an impact and to be able to spread the word about things that are important to you. It's not just about making money. It's about having that opportunity to make a bigger impact on the world. So this is another example of how, you know, Katie had an audience. She and I were connected on Facebook, and now she's reaching my audience as well. And because Katie's a volunteer for New Horizons for Children, .org, they're also getting exposed to my audience again, which is an awesome thing too. So I just wanted to point that out, that having an online presence isn't just about making money, it's about, you know, making a difference as well. And just about all of my podcasts, I mentioned my favorite quote ever, and I wish I knew who said it to me first, but you just keep reminding me of it over and over and over again, Katie. And my favorite saying that my husband and I, it's been our motto in our family since before the kids were born, it's, the days are long, but the years are short. And basically what it means is, to me, is that, you know, in the moments of the day, you feel like you have all the time in the world. And, you know, you can sit in front of a computer and feel like, oh, only a couple hours went by, it's no big deal. But then you blink and 5 years are gone. So it's about paying attention to those little moments in the day, which you've reminded me of over and over again through this call, how very important that is. The little things, like I could go, oh, I don't need to kiss my daughter goodnight tonight. You know, what's it going to matter? And then, you know, do that a couple nights, and all of a sudden, you know, a year's gone by and I haven't been kissing my daughter goodnight. You know what I mean? So, and you never know. I also think back upon all those memories with my grandparents and everything. And the memories that I have are the little things. They really are. Running around at a picnic, you know, stuff like that. It's the little things that are so very, very important.
Exactly.
So I have really appreciated having you on and listening to your story. Is there anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
No, I would just encourage everyone to just take life and each day as a gift. You know, my story is kind of dramatic.
Dream and dramatic.
but everyone has a story, and everyone is here for a purpose and a reason. And what's your purpose? And are you doing that? Making money and taking care of the finances is very important and not something to take lightly. But is it all you're doing? I would say that you have so much opportunity to make a difference in this world.
Definitely. All right, guys, go to katiesheartbeat.blogspot.com to see beautiful pictures of Katie and her family. Also, go to newhorizonsforchildren.org, and there is a link on there that says how you can help, and there are tons of ways you can help. There's ways you can help by donating your time, donating your money, spreading the word, getting your church involved, and, of course, having more hands-on contact with the kids, like hosting a child yourself or helping to get someone else to host. There's so many different ways that you can help, really. So don't let finances hold you back. Don't let time hold you back, because if you don't have one but you have the other, then that's good. They'll take it.
Yes, we will.
And also, all of you guys out there in your business, try to think of your impact and your legacy and what you're doing to leave those beyond the making money day-to-day stuff. if you go to my blog, NicoleOnTheNet.com, you can see I have links to organizations that I support. I try to talk about ways we can make the world a better place, make the web a better place even, and try to spread the word about things that are important to me. I want to know how you're doing that as well. So leave some notes in the comments section in the show notes here so I can see in what ways you guys are making the world and the web a better place, because I'd really like to see that. All right, guys. Katie, you are a rock star, darling, and I am so thankful to have you in my life and to have you inspire me and to have you make me laugh. And you've helped me dry some tears in the past as well, too. And I thank God for you. I thank God that we got to have more time together.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back with another show soon. Bye-bye.